Anita and I were away last week at a conference up in Kelowna. And then my brother and sister contacted me and said my father was in failing health. And they've never told me before, it's time to come home. But on this occasion, they said, it's time to come home. So then we went from the conference down to see my family, and my father's just pushing 92, 91, 92 in November. And when I left, he was still with us, and you never know how long that goes on. But anyway, it was nice to be able to go to the conference and then to see my my parents. Well, at the conference, there were some exciting things that happened, and I wanted to just share just a glimpse of some of those things. It was started Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so I can't squeeze it all in, but just let me give you just a couple little hints and then share some things besides that. Now, I was quite surprised that they knew too as well that we're on the brink of a massive ingathering of souls. Who told them that? I thought I was the only one who knew, and I was telling you so you'd be ahead of the game. But they knew it too, and they talked all about it throughout the seminar, and I thought, oh my goodness, the news is out! We're going to have to run to keep up! Okay, so they were telling stories of around the world where amazing things were already happening. We could spend the morning talking about those amazing things, but just to let you know, I was so excited to hear that somebody else knew what God had told me. Now, it's interesting, they also mentioned that there are some disparaging people saying, you know, we've heard that for a long time. I mean, that's old news. And it hasn't happened yet, so don't get your heart set on that one. And then they reminded us of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Daniel, the prophet, found a 70-year-old prophecy from Jeremiah. And he believed it, and then prayed into it. And as he believed it and prayed into it, his prayer released angels. I thought, there's a key here. The major key is, no matter how old the prophecy is, we have to believe it and then pray into it. God's waiting for us. Remember, I had mentioned to you that we need to begin now, as if it is now. So instead of just sitting back and saying, oh, you know, I'm just going to wait till it happens, and when it starts to happen, then maybe I'll get involved. I mean, if it's a good enough revival, if I like this kind of revival. If not, I'll just slip over to another church. Oh, I'm feeling miserable today, aren't I? No, God is saying, I want us to get involved in this thing as if it was now. You start praying. You start interceding. You start believing what God's going to do. Like this baptism this morning. This is how it's going to happen. All of a sudden, someone's just going to say, hey, I'd like to get baptized today. I'd like to get saved today. There'll be one, there'll be three, there'll be five, there'll be ten. Pretty soon it'll grow, but it'll be us and them. And all of a sudden we'll realize, hold it, we're in the middle of something big. We better get ready. And God is saying, no, get ready now. Well, you see, the word of the Lord doesn't cease. It doesn't stop. It simply quits being believed. All of a sudden, we don't believe it anymore. The Hebrew writer tells us that we received, or those in the wilderness received, the same promise that we received, except they didn't mix it with faith. And then the Hebrew writer says, don't be like that. Mix what you've heard with faith. Begin putting some legs to it, actions to it, prayer to it. And all of a sudden, you'll receive it. Oh, that sounded really good to me. You know, we all kind of want to hear from God, see what God's doing, be a part of all that. And they shared at the seminar, the scripture suggests, if you're thirsty, come and drink. Everyone that is thirsty, come and drink the waters that is free. Some people just don't drink of the waters of the Lord. But if we would drink, the more we drink, in fact, did you know if you drink enough, you begin seeing things. If you drink enough, you begin seeing things. Now, God wants us to see in the spiritual. But if we drink enough of God's word, all of a sudden our eyes become open. We think, whoa, I've never seen that before. Whoa, I've never seen that before. So he wants us to be drinking of the water of his word. Now, one encounter, we're just one encounter away from breakthrough. Then all of a sudden, something in your life will break open, and then it'll happen in this person's life, in that person's life, in somebody not even around's life, and God will be doing things in us. From glory to glory, he's changing us. Then they had a prayer of impartation for strategic plans and blueprints. And I thought, God, that's what I need. I need some strategic plans and blueprints of what to do in this great revival that you're bringing. After I prayed that prayer, we were driving back to the hotel one night, and Anita said to me, you know, that recent passion that you have for brilliant clothing. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but all up until, you know, 6 months or so ago, I wore drab-colored clothes, you know, grays, you know, dark greens, you know, something that wouldn't draw too much attention, you know, just kind of blend into the background. And then something happened. I can't tell you, I don't know how it happened or what happened, but all of a sudden, fluorescent colors looked exciting. I mean, I want to wear them. You just couldn't find anything more brilliant. Anita would, now she's always wanted me to wear bright clothes. She'd bring home things and they would just sit in the closet. Who would be stupid enough to wear that? I mean, that is so ugly. No, I wouldn't wear that. But now, whoa-wee, I'd like to wear that. In fact, she hasn't bought me some fuchsia color stuff yet. I'd like to wear fuchsia. I'm envious of ladies with fuchsia, bright fuchsia jackets. There they go. I'd like to wear that fuchsia jacket. I haven't found one in men's yet, but I would be even willing to wear if it would just cut off the label. Brilliant colors. And so as we were there at the conference, Anita said, you know, I think there's something up with those brilliant colors. I says, yeah? What is it? She says, it might be an outward manifestation of something the Holy Spirit is birthing in you. Maybe he's birthing extreme boldness. I say, well, I don't know. I have felt a little feisty recently, you know, so it could be that. Well, when I thought of Moses had led the children of Israel into the wilderness. There was about 600,000 men plus their wives and children. Now, 600,000 men plus another 600,000 wives, that's a lot. That's 1 million, a couple hundred, you know, 200,000. And then you add children. Now, they weren't like us today. You know, you get 1.8 children or 2.2 children. No. They had dozens of kids. I mean, they just loved kids. It would be nothing for them to have 5.5 kids each. Well, that would bring us up to the round number that I've always thought came out of Egypt, 4,500,000 people. Whew, that's a lot of people for manna, isn't it? But Moses brought all these people out, and it was an exciting time, an exhilarating time of God birthing a nation. Well, now, Moses' job description had changed from this little job description of taking care of flock, you know, a flock of sheep, to being the shepherd over 4,500,000 people. I mean, that's a major change in things. And it was an overwhelming task for Moses. I mean, the shepherding was just about more than he could stand. I mean, there was some exhilaration coming out of Egypt. I mean, that would be fun. I mean, on the first day of the journey, you know, all of a sudden we're singing songs, hallelujah. But now they're in the wilderness, and it's not quite so fun. So right about then, when the fun had ceased, Moses' father-in-law shows up. You always want your father-in-law to show up on good times. This isn't one of those times. Moses was straddled with listening to everybody's complaints. Now, first of all, he had to give general direction over the whole nation. But then second of all, he had to listen to everybody's complaints and squabbles and this sort of thing. And he was the judge, the God to them. So from early in the morning till late at night, he was solving cases. And Jethro looks at him and says, hold it. He pulls Moses aside and says, this thing is going to absolutely wear you out. We got to think of something different here. This is going to do you in. Let's look at it. Now, listen to me, Jethro says, and I'll give you some advice. Just what every guy wants. Advice from dad-in-law. And may God be with you if you do it. See, it wasn't bad advice. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their tributes to him. In other words, you need to tell God people. And you need to teach them decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. So now he's supposed to talk to the people about God. Two tasks, fairly simple. Talk to God about the people. Talk to the people about God. That's your primary responsibility, Moses. You're the head guy, the chief poopah here. And you got two responsibilities. Talk to God about the people. Talk to the people about God. And so then he gives blueprints. He says, this is what I'd like you to do. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. In other words, Moses, you don't have to do it alone. There's a whole bunch of people, and we're gonna appoint them. We're going to release them to do the work. And then the harder cases can come to you. Wow. Moses thought to himself, you mean I don't have to do it all? You mean these 4,500,000 people, some of them can share in the work? Yeah, they can share in the work. Well, hot dog, let's do it. See, what happens is, well, we're not supposed to quit doing what we're doing. We're just to share it with others. It's synergism. And so two can actually carry more than twice as much as one. I heard, and I'm not sure if it's true, but I think it's true, of a horse pull. You know, they're trying to see how much weight a horse could pull. And so they carry his horses all lined up and with weights behind. And the winning horse pulled 9,000 pounds. Now, that's a lot to pull. The runner-up horse pulled 8,000 pounds. Then somebody had a bright idea. Let's put the two horses together and see if they can carry, well, 8,000 and 9,000 is 17,000 pounds. Guess how much they carried? Pulled is the word, pulled. They pulled 30,000 pounds. Two can do more than twice as much as one. Now, it's the same with us together. We can do more than we can individually. That's what Jethro was telling Moses. That's what the Bible tells us. So, we can achieve more together. Now, there are people who will say that, now, you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. But that's actually not so. I mean, there's times when we're sick and we just can't make it there. But God actually created us to work together because together we can do more. In fact, God calls us a body. Now just imagine if all you had is one arm. Or maybe you didn't have it. Now you could do less. Let's say you didn't have the other arm. Now they call you Bob. Okay, so you can do more if you have more. So Jethro is saying to Moses, this isn't good. You need help. You need the rest of the body involved. You need other people working with you. You can't do it all alone. Now, God even came up with a plan. First of all, Moses did that plan. That's a great plan. Appoint people and have them help. But God says, hey, I've got even a better plan. You got to appoint people, and I'm going to put my spirit on them. I'm going to take what I've given to you. I'm going to place the Spirit of God on those leaders. And so the Lord said to Moses, bring me the 70 of Israel's elders, whom are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, and they may stand here with you. And then what? and I'll take the Spirit who is upon you, and I'll put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it alone. Whoa. So not only are the leaders being appointed, they're being anointed. Can you imagine? You get not only to share in the appointment, but to share in the anointment. Whoa! God's not going to make it too hard for you, because He's going to give you part of His Spirit to do it. Now, what was true in the wilderness is actually true in the church. God has created us so that we're all necessary parts of the church, and He's placed His anointing on us to do the job. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is in Christ. He goes on to say it again in just another verse. He'll say it this way: as it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know what that means? That means that I'm a part of the body, but also you're a part, a very important part, a necessary part. We're all necessary parts of the body. And without one of us, there's this big hole missing. There it is, missing. Just imagine if you weren't involved, you're missing in the body of Christ. The body lacks that, whatever you could have contributed. Well, because each believer was created to be a functioning part of the body of Christ. Wow, that's exciting. And that's what this great revival is all about, is each of us doing our part in the body of Christ. Now, when you came in this morning, you got a little sheet about areas I'm interested in serving. Let's grab that out. We want to put some feet to our study this morning. And maybe you did this when you signed up to be a member 22 years ago. We want to go through it together today, and I'm going to have you check off areas that you might be interested in helping in the church. Now, that doesn't mean you get to help in all of them, but we're going to be going through these and finding people to help in various areas so that Pastor John isn't doing everything. Pastor Albert doesn't do everything. Pastor Dan doesn't do everything. Wouldn't that be great if April didn't have to do everything? So we had it divided up into areas, but then we told ourselves at the end, I bet we forgot some areas, so we left some blank areas there for you. Maybe you say, hold it, you missed my whole gifting. So administration assistance, maybe you can help. Maybe you're great at coordinating or administrating, and so there's ministries and events and projects. Say, hey, I am a great administrator, or a good one, or I can do that easily. Click that off. Typing. You say, well, sure, I can type. Well, click it off. Phoning. Now, there are some people who live to talk. Did you know that could be a ministry gift? I mean, let's put that to work. Computer work. There's some things you can do at home or even here at the church. And if you want to help with computer stuff, check that off. Online communications. Some of you know Facebook well, or websites and designs. Check that off. Volunteer receptionist. Sometimes we just need someone to sit in the office. You say, well, you know, I don't do much, but I can sit there. I can answer the phone. Hello? Hello? You can direct people. Sell off tasks. Now, we have a neon sign. Sometimes we just need incredible slogans. You know, every week we put up two different slogans. Maybe you've come across some and you say, hold it, this should be on the sign. Well, write it down and give it to us. Maybe you're a great photographer. We could use a photographer, numbers of them. Maybe you'd like to help with ushering or greeting or visitation. Maybe you like to pray for specific things. Maybe you'd like to be part of our pre-service prayer here at the church, or to pray at home. You know, we have one member who prays through the entire church directory. every day. Whoa, you say, that's a little much for me. Well, you could maybe take 10 names and pray for those every day, another 10 tomorrow, and another 10 after that. You could pray for people here in the church. You could pray for people in our daycare. You could pray for the kids. I mean, there's all sorts of things you could pray for. You could be one of the pastor's prayer partners and pray for one of the pastors on Monday or Wednesday or Sunday. You could be part of a home group as a leader or as an assistant, or you could open up your home for a home group. You could attend one. You could assist with driving. So mark these areas down that you say, well, sure, I'd like to help with that. How about worship? You could help with our sound. We need people who would be willing to learn how to run our sound system. You could be one of those. Help with the visual, PowerPoint visuals, and the video recordings. Now, we got some great people helping us with our PowerPoint video already, but we could always use more. Our music team, you could help on our music team. Maybe you're a vocalist or a musician. Maybe you play an instrument. Tell us what it is. It's not that we've been trying to avoid you. We probably didn't know that you did. Communion. You could help just prepare the communion and put it away at the end afterwards. The same with the coffee and cookies and all that kind of stuff. Children's ministries. There's so many areas that you could help with children's ministries. Volunteering in the nursery. You say, I didn't know we had a volunteer nursery. We don't. But you can start it. You can say, hey, that's one area I'd like to help with. You can help with leading or assisting in a Sunday school class. And then we have various age groups there. You could help with child minding. Sometimes we just need someone to help with child minding midweek, not on Sundays, but midweek. You could help with the Christmas concerts that some years we have and some years we don't, because primarily we need people to help with it. You could help with the youth ministries, with our Royal Rangers. In girls' ministries, there's all sorts of things you could help with. You could just sew little badges on. You could say, well, I can sew. Well, then make it a ministry. We've got badges that you can sew. Help with crafts. Lead or assist in one of the clubs. Billeting. You know, just having people into your home can be a ministry. You may say, well, I've got a spare bedroom. Well, we need it. I mean, we've been announcing for the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks that choir is coming and we need people to fill up your bedroom. You just let us know. You can assist with meals for those in need. It seems like there's often people in need, and to help with hospitality is such a huge area of ministry. In benevolence, you know, there are people who can't afford to have their autos repaired, but maybe you know something about mechanics and can help them. Sometimes it's quite simple. Housekeeping, you know, maybe you can clean and other people just aren't able to at the moment. Emergency child care, driving and running errands. You know, just going to the grocery store can be a ministry. You can, you know, your husband can say, hey, where are you going? I'm going to do a ministry. Now, you could. Social, you can prepare coffee Sunday morning and clean up coffee afterwards and help bake cookies, help with the church food functions, preparations, and clean up and set up. Then there's our library. Now there's already some helping with the library, but we can always use more. We got stacks of books that haven't been processed yet. And so you can help us get it together, get it done. And then there's our building. We're so pleased with how much painting has been done recently, but there's still more painting to be done. Plumbing, electrical, carpentry, building maintenance, ground maintenance. Now our grounds are starting to look awesome. But there's still, it's a big piece of property. So there's things that you can help us with. Janitoring. Then there's a seniors ministry. Some who just can't make it here, but we go to them. And you could help do that. You could even tell yourself, you know, there's just no events for seniors. There's events for children. There's events for youth. But there's no events for seniors. Well, you could help us with that. Plan something. Lead it. That could be exciting. Decorations, you know, you can help with decoring the building and the platform, seasonal decorations and arts and crafts and help in dramas. You can say, well, hold it, the place doesn't have enough drama. Well, good. Help me with one. Do one. And then there's all those things I missed. I want you to busily write them down, all your talents and skills and abilities and God-anointed things that he's put in you. Say, yeah, I'd like to help with this and that and the other. And then there's a place to put your name. And we're hoping you're going to pass that all in. And then we're going to allow you to be what Moses and had Jethro told Moses. And God says, hey, I'm going to anoint those people who do those things. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that those you've called, you also anoint, because you want us involved in ministry. Everybody has a piece. Everybody can be involved. Every part of the body is an important part. I ask that you help us, each of us, not only to find our place in ministry, but to do our place in ministry. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.